You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for October 1996.
And welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. I'm Fred Bobby, sitting in the Sheetrock Announce booth here at the DX Audio Service headquarters with your magazine. If you'd like to write to us, our address is the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, care of Great Northern Broadcast Company, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio, that's L-I-M-A, Ohio, 45802-5031. Our telephone number is 419-228-4199. The fax number, 419-221-1609. And our brand new Musings to the Members number, 419-224-1609. And on the internet, our address is gnbc at alpha.wcoil, that's wcoil.com. Now you have all the information, with the exception of what happened at the National Radio Club Convention. This is going to be a convention issue, so let's jump right in with Jerry Starr and the AM Switch.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch, right out of the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. Call Interchanges leads off the switch, as always, and we begin on 550, where WHYM in Statesville, North Carolina, becomes WIST, a call that used to be in Charlotte for many, many years. 570 KCNO, Alturas, California, changes to KKFJ. 810 WISZ, Rockford, Michigan, becomes WMJH. On 820 WQSI, Frederick, Maryland, becomes WXTR. 900 WCKM, Saratoga Springs, New York, changes to WKAJ. 1150 WMEX, a call that's been all over the dial in Boston, they will change to WROR. 1160 WKJT, Tryon, North Carolina, becomes WJFJ. 1170 WRWD, Cornwall on Hudson, New York, changing to WWLE. 1190 WDCS, Cobleskill, New York, becomes WLAL. On 1240 KSON, a call that's been with this station since the 40s in San Diego, California, that'll be changing to KDDZ for kids. Guess what programming they're going to? On 1280, KXKL, Denver, Colorado, changes to KRRF. 1320, KXOL, Clinton, Oklahoma, becomes KCLI. 1340, that new station in Elko, Nevada. Well, we managed to transpose a couple letters when we gave you their new call last month. The call is KTSN. So if you wrote that down as KSTN, please change it to KTSN. On 1350 WFLS in Fredericksburg, Virginia, they change to WYSK. 1390 WMZQ, Arlington, Virginia, they're changing to WZHF. And an interesting note, they're changing to an all-health information format. First one in the country, as far as we know. 1450 WMGP, Meridian, Mississippi, becomes WFFX. Also on 1450, KJUN in Puyallup, Washington, becomes KKBY. 1480 WJHB, Fairbluff, North Carolina, changing to WNCR. And on 1490 WOJY, Hampton, Virginia, changing to WXRE. Now, of course, they had asked for WTAU. They have set that request aside in favor of WXRE. Interestingly enough, there are some applications for new stations, and more than one this month. 750, application for a new station in Petoskey, Michigan. 1,000 watts in the daytime, 330 watts at night, a U4 antenna. 830 in Palmetto, Florida, 50,000 day, 270 watts night. The antenna will be U4. On 1090, new station applied for in Hawthorne, Nevada, 50,000 watts daytime, 2,000 watts at night, a U4 antenna. And on 1190, new station applied for in Havana, Florida, with 10,000 day, 1,000 night, and a U1 antenna. No new stations were granted this month. Some applications of interest on 630 WDGY, St. Paul, Minnesota, applies to reduce their powers to 900 watts daytime, 315 watts at night, and change their city of license to Hudson, Wisconsin. On 1050, KPXE Liberty, Texas would like to change their city of license to Brookshire, Texas. 1130, WLBA Gainesville, Georgia, that's suburban Atlanta, would like to change their city of license to Powder Springs, Georgia, with a slight adjustment in power. And on 1520, WCHE Westchester, Pennsylvania wants to move down a notch to 1510 kilohertz, where they will have 1,000 watts D3 if granted. Moving forward to Otherness on 590 WLVA, Lynchburg, Virginia. This station is silent. 650 KUUY, Orchard Valley, Wyoming. This silent station is now back on the air with a mystery about their call letter. They are currently simulcasting the 100.7 FM station in Cheyenne, which uses the call KOLT, which, by the way, is licensed to an AM station in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, so there is a little question about the FM call. But they identify their AM as KMRZ. Now, we've seen nothing from the FCC about a call change here, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. 960 WEAV, Plattsburgh, New York, is silent. 980 KEGE, Richfield, Minnesota, is silent. On 1070 WSCP, Sandy Creek, Pulaski, New York, right in Ken Chatterton's backyard, this silent station is back on the air. Another mystery on 1090 WKTE in King, North Carolina. Although the FCC database continues to show this station as a daytimer, they are now being heard operating at night. As a matter of fact, they're being widely heard. We heard them here in the Youngstown area. We have no record of any application or grant for full-time, so if anybody in that area knows what's going on with WKTE, please let us know. 1120 KLIM, Lyman, Colorado. Little spot on the road on Interstate 80. This silent station is back on the air. On 1240 WKDA, Nashville, Tennessee, this station has been silent since the big storm in the middle of July when it blew down their tower. They are now diplexing into another station's tower, and they are now back on the air. 1260 KWHK, Hutchinson, Kansas, another one of those stations whose license has been canceled and the call deleted. The station has been silent for quite some time. Here's a small correction from last month on 1340 KOLE, Port Arthur, Texas. This silent station is on the air. Now, that's still true, but the thing is, last month we somehow listed them as being on 1400 kilohertz. They're not. They're on 1340, right where they've always been. 1350 WBEM, Wimber, Pennsylvania. Station has been silent since the end of 1991. Their license has been canceled and the call deleted. On 1470 WCFJ, Chicago Heights, Illinois, the station with that huge 10 or 12 tower antenna system. Can't remember how many, but it's a whole field full. They are silent. Also on 1470 KNFL, Tremonton, Utah, this silent station has returned to the air. 1490 WOLF, Syracuse, New York, this silent station has returned to the air. There was some speculation that they were silent because they were finally facilitating their move to 1510, but that is not the case. They've returned to the air on their former frequency and their current frequency of 1490. 1500 WDPC, Dallas, Georgia. This silent station is now on the air. They're relaying programming from WDCY. That's that 1520 station in Douglasville, Georgia. 1530 WVFC, McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania, reported to be silent. 1560 KLTI, Macon, Missouri. This silent station should have returned to the air by the time this tape reaches you. And finally, on 1570, you'd have to be an awful lucky DXer to hear this one. Brand new station has been testing on the air. It's KUAU, Haiku, Hawaii. And that will wrap up this month's tape, which we hope to personally hand to Fred Vobey in just a couple days at the big Knoxville convention. Speaking of the Knoxville convention, here's somebody who may already be there. John likes to show up early sometimes. Here's John Docker.
Well, thanks, Jerry. And once again, we're coming to you live from the annual convention of the National Radio Club and DX Audio Service. And by the way, if during the whole thing you hear any snickering in the background, it's because we're not alone in this grand auditorium of the Ramada Inn in Knoxville, the Lincoln Room, as it's better known. Who do we have here? We have a fellow, it's Tim Hendel. I was going to say, Tim, you're here from Miami, but you're not anymore, are you?
Been in Miami for a long time, and now I moved to Huntsville, Alabama.
What are you doing up in Huntsville?
Enjoying life in a smaller city and just going through a change.
Oh, that's terrific. Okay, well, hey, and thanks so much for all the tapes you've sent from upstate New York and everywhere else around. Who's this young man right here?
Hi, my name is Mike Lance from Miami Beach.
Oh, one of God's little spots.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry about that, but, you know, he'll fix it one of these days, Mike.
He certainly will.
Yeah, now, we have WKAT on tape this morning.
Yeah.
You ever had a connection with them?
Yeah, I used to call them on their talk shows when they were a talk station years ago.
In English?
In English.
Because what were...
Some English programming on Sundays.
And the rest of the time?
They do it in Spanish and in Haitian, but they may be making some changes.
Well, all stations do from time to time. John Klingman, how are things out in the Midwest?
Just fine.
And where's your home?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, great. And we're going to get you to call into the musings one of these days.
One of these days, you never know.
You never know. John, awful glad to have you here in Knoxville. Thanks for coming. Tom, you're from Eastern Massachusetts, they tell me.
Yes, good morning, DX Audio Service listeners. And this is Tom Walsh from Bedford, Massachusetts.
And, Tom, we haven't heard you on the musings either. We've got to get you and John to call.
No, but some listeners may know me from the international contributions I've been sending to Bruce.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And Bruce, as a matter of fact, Bruce Conti's here. We're going to be talking with him later on, I guess. Great. Hey, Dale Hamm, you're here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And here is Wanda. I guess she's not right here in the room right now. Where's your wife?
They're out visiting Dollywood.
Dollywood, oh gosh. And Pauline is with her?
No, they both went.
Oh, that's terrific. Awful glad to have you. Dale Hamm has contributed hundreds of IDs from all over the United States, mostly, Alabama and...
Tennessee, Georgia.
And now?
Now there's a big pile here for you from eastern New Mexico, parts of eastern...
I haven't heard it yet. You don't happen to have Hobbs in there, do you?
I sure don't.
Okay, because Hobbs... We went to Hobbs, almost went to Hobbs 2 years ago, and the Weather Bureau wouldn't let us go down. They had the road closed because of floods. Well, you're in Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
Well, thanks, Dale. You're a major contributor. Thanks so very much. Well, we better get to work here. The boss is going to cut us off at the end. Well, last month on the audio service, we heard on-air IDs of stations broadcasting at 1360 on the dial from the west all the way into Illinois. So we're going to start this month in the city where the first RCA color TV sets were made on the October 1996 DX audio service travelogue.
Rhythm of the Sunshine. WTTS, Bloomington.
Okay. Up in Fred Volvey's adolescent home in the Thumb of Michigan next.
Serving Cass City and all of Michigan's Thumb for 30 years. This is AM 1360, WKYO Cairo.
For the first time since the floods knocked out the water supply 9 days ago, water is flowing through pipes beneath the streets.
Okay, this next station broadcasts from the first city in the United States that had the nerve to rebuild its downtown area as a walking mall. Thus blocking all traffic, by the way, and using up the main street.
1360 WKMI, Kalamazoo.
Good morning. I'm in the morning news. Here's what's happening. A 4-year-old Van Buren County boy drowned Sunday. Authorities say Escar Hernandez apparently wandered away from his family.
And now is recorded from downtown Detroit. Here's a familiar radio sound these days.
Hi, this is head coach Don Jackson. You're listening to the home of Cyclones Hockey, 1360 Radio Oz, WAOZ Cincinnati.
Well, let's see, our first country music station this month comes from the northeast corner of Ohio.
And now, kicking off more country music with Brian Williams on AM 1360 WWOW in Conneaut, Ohio.
And this next ID comes from just down the road from where we're sitting at this 1996 convention.
Brother Leroy Surface brings to us another message from God's Word. 24 hours a day, we never leave you. WNAH, Nashville.
Nice music card, huh? Well, down into Dale Hamm territory next.
WZPT Radio, Jasper, Alabama.
From ABC News, I'm Dorothy McIntyre. The military should be used as part of the war against drug trafficking. That's according to...
Well, let's go down to the Gulf Coast for the good word.
Word for today is heard each morning, Monday through Friday, from 8:30 until 9, right here on WMOB Mobile.
And a good morning to you. It's 9 o'clock Mobile area weather forecast, mostly sunny today.
The Sunshine State beckons us next to the home of the greatest water show on earth.
For complete coverage of news from around the world, around the states, and local news, it's Radio 1360 WHNR, Cypress Gardens, Winter Haven.
United Van Lines presents Stiller and Mira.
Once upon a time, that station had a different call sign in Cypress Gardens.
WYXY, 1360 Radio, Cypress Gardens, Winter Haven.
From ABC ABC News, I'm Kate Dorton.
Up to the North Atlantic coast, next.
You have been listening to the West Side Church of Christ program, administered Terrence McLean. Join us again next time for more. Radio station WCGL, the 1360 Spadoni AM dial, in Jacksonville, Florida. The organ playing of the late and the great, Reverend Charles Nix.
And our last stop on this heavenly peninsula, if you'll permit me, takes us down to Mike Lant's hometown. Yeah, Mike.
1360, WKAT, North Miami, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
WKAT. Sonido. Sound. Voices. Voices. Música. Music. Esto es... This is... WKAT. WKAT. La mejor frecuencia. The best station. La mejor frecuencia. The best station. La mejor frecuencia.
That's enough.
La mejor
so it's the best station,
the
best Mike. Okay. What do you say we, we'll leave the southern point and go up into the Peachtree State.
Northwest Georgia's most listened to radio station, WTSH, Rome, WTSH-FM, Clockmart, Moon, Northwest Georgia, and the South, South 107.
Okay, let's go up and join the crowd. Next.
The University of North Carolina's radio network flagship station, 1360 WCHL Chapel Hill.
Bolsters the troops and British Conservative Party survives crucial vote. With Mutual News, I'm Carrie Moran in Los Angeles.
Interesting use of crowd noise there, I think. That makes the ID kind of complete. And speaking of complete, here's Mark Strickert. He took his recorder into the Smoky Mountains of Virginia recently.
Miss Laura Brannigan with I Found Someone right here on WBOB Galax. Time out for the news again from CBS at 11 a.m.
CBS News, this is Doug Poling. A car loaded with explosives blew up earlier this morning outside a luxury hotel in the central Mexican city of Guadalajara.
Now here's an AM station reverting back to rock music.
I got a whole lot to do. I got a whole lot.
Returns to AM Stereo 1360, WHBG Harrisonburg.
But this next station had a similar program scheduled to that about 10, 15 years ago. We're going to hear how they made out with it here in a minute.
1360 AM WEBB Baltimore. Celebrating the 1360 Merry Christmas Summer Giveaway.
A handful of years ago, that music format failed for them, so they took drastic action. How many of you remember this short-lived format for that station?
You'll get instant access to hundreds of jobs every day right here on WHLP, Job Radio 1360. All jobs, all the time.
The job you wanted is coming up next.
Job Radio 1360, WHLP, Baltimore.
That falls in the category of nice try, I'd have to say. Well, so today in Baltimore, what do you hear? Well, it's broadcast at 1360 on the dial. We recorded this back in January.
1 o'clock. Time for the news. We'll be back.
The Golden Age of Radio Theater. Sunday nights at 8 on the music of your life. WWLG Baltimore.
Ron Clark used to live out near Pittsburgh, and he logged this next ID for us back in 1991.
A decade of country music, WIXZ, McKeesport, Pittsburgh.
Thanks a lot, Ron. He's contributed to quite a few stations, too. Here's an interesting example of what can happen if the little round tip on the top of a whip antenna comes off. Have you ever noticed it has a little thing on the top? Static discharge was building up on our antenna, and I wasn't really aware of it. But listen to what happens when that little round tip comes off.
1360 Stereo, WPPA, Pottsville.
Second inning at Veterans Stadium, Bobby Bonilla batting right-handed. His poor side, he takes inside ball one.
You could hear the popping on that? That's what it is, just discharging about every twice a second or so. We're going to move now to north-central New Jersey.
1360 AM in New Jersey.
And in the southern part of the state?
Good morning, I'm Matthew Birmingham. It's 47 degrees at 11 o'clock. Broadcasting from 2115 South Elsie Drive. This is WWBZ Vineland in our 44th year. Time now for ABC News.
1360 WWBZ.
From ABC News, I'm John Grimes.
A sequence of calls now from upstate
Patrol,
New York.
Ken Landau's Whaler Report, and the best in rockin' solid gold. Weekday afternoons from 2 to 6 with me, John Gilson, right here at 1360 WRSG Binghamton.
Back here at the arena, we're all set to get this.
I recorded that one back in 1993, and a year earlier or a year later, I could have recorded this next ID on that same station.
Home for real country is AM 1360 WKOP Binghamton.
Yeah, they went from WKOP and went right back to it in about a year. Here's the news authority of the Catskills coming up. Darn near missed the lead news item. Kind of a strange news.
WMNS OEM.
Reeves, President Bush, trying to seize the initiative on the issue of the economy, said there could be a 1% across-the-board cut in tax rates if Congress would agree to $130 billion.
Eastward ho, across the Hudson River now. Camille Petrecca got this for us a couple of years ago.
You're listening to Connecticut's first radio station, WDIC AM 1360, Hartford. From the CNN News Center in Atlanta, I'm David Hall.
And let's see, our last stop on our transcontinental tour at 1360 is going to put us in Lynn, Massachusetts. First, their old call sign, celebrating the North Shore Radio.
WNSR.
And today at 1360 in Lynn, we have new call sign.
It's 12 o'clock time now for the Sonia Show. 1 hour of the best in Greek music with your hostess, Sonia.
I stepped on it, didn't I, Mike? That was WLYN. Mike Lance once called me on the phone and said, please don't do that. So I'm sorry, Mike. Hey, anyway, just a word or two about this great Labor Day weekend. I should tell you it's now about 9:30 on Sunday morning, September 1st. And I want to thank the audience who got up so early on a vacation weekend to come and witness this monthly extravaganza we call the Travelogue. Linda and I have certainly enjoyed ourselves here in Knoxville, rekindling some old friendships to our annual conventions in the past and meeting a bunch of radio club members we really haven't had a chance to meet before. We're hoping we'll be able to find a way to get together with you again, maybe next year at the convention, too. And speaking of that, maybe if we try hard enough, we can get Jim to come to the convention next year. But meantime, Jim, what you got?
You never know, Pilgrim. Well, maybe me anyway. We'll see. As a matter of fact, this year I wanted to make it, but I was too cheap. But it'll happen sometime, and that's, you got my word on that. I'll try to let you know well in advance in case that would affect your choice as to whether to go or not. Hey, John, thanks for those terrific things you said about me last month. The check is definitely in the mail, sir. You shouldn't have, but keep it up. Welcome one and all to the Band Scan column, the column where we take a listen around the AM radio band from all over the country with an eye toward measuring signal strength and observing propagation, that sort of thing. Next month, we'll be traveling to Saskatchewan to listen to Radio by Day from Adam Bouvier's location in Saskatoon. But this month, I thought we'd take a little break and cover a few miscellanei that have been coming to my attention and thought I might like to share with you. One thing was that in July, WHO, my 50,000-watt local on 1040, as you may know, had an open house at their transmitter. It's about 30 miles away from here, so I thought I'd take the morning off and go down and take a look around. And it was pretty interesting, really. A 50-kilowatt transmitter is a rather large piece of equipment. And it's really about the size of a small room and produces a lot of heat. And they have huge blowers that force massive amounts of air through that thing to keep the heat from building up. And they don't really have to heat the building at all. Believe me, they don't. And They're drawing about, I think he told me, 80,000 watts off of the power line. That's not an entirely efficient transmitter, although the newer ones are more efficient, and they really have an older transmitter there, too. They're running a Harris MW50, for those of you who are into that sort of thing right now, which is not among the newest transmitters, but it's relatively recent. They also have an older transmitter whose manufacturer I don't recall, but I think it was installed in the late 40s, and they bring that online every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock and run it for a few hours while they maintain the new transmitter and just to make sure that it still works. So at drawing 80 kilowatts off of the power line, they are spending some money, aren't they? Let's see, 80 kilowatt hours would be about $8, roughly. So we're talking about $200 a day to run that transmitter. So now you know why they run all the baby gold bonds, huh? They showed me one of the power amplifier tubes that they use inside there, and I'm not sure how many they run. I forgot to ask, but it's a pretty good-sized tube. If it's sitting on the floor, it stands about halfway up your thigh. And I'm told it weighs about 150 pounds, and they actually have a little manual crane that they use to load them into place in the transmitter when they replace them. And they cost several hundred bucks apiece. The tower is actually surrounded by a fence. You can't get anywhere near it without the proper keys. But passing over the fence at about head level are a number of pipes and cables, one of which is the big main feed line that takes the power from the transmitter out to the tower. And you can actually touch that. There is no shock hazard at all in touching the outside of the feed line, and so I did. And by golly, it was an awesome experience to stand there knowing that that huge WHO signal was passing between my hands and spreading out across the great Midwest. It had been since long before I was alive. That tower was installed there in 1949, and it's a nice facility. It looks like somebody really spent some money. But the interesting thing about this feed line is it's not a cable. It's a pipe about 6 inches in diameter. And inside that pipe is another pipe about 3 inches in diameter. They're located, concentrically, right in the center. And the inside pipe is the hot wire, and the outside is the ground, probably 1/4 to 3/8 inch thick. The entire assembly is sealed and pressurized with nitrogen to keep the moisture out, and by golly, that's the feed line. They're pumping about 30 amperes of current through that thing at about 1,600 volts. WHO is running what they call a Franklin antenna, and have been since 1949. And they had a little scale model there in the transmitter shack, actually a 100 to 1 scale, so it was about 8 feet tall, but you could feel almost the entire thing. And that was fun to be able to look at the actual shape of the tower. The Franklin antenna is a little different design that a lot of stations use, where usually they'll just bring the coax, the cable that carries the power, right out to the base of the antenna and connect on and drive the entire thing. The Franklin antenna is actually split about halfway up, and not exactly halfway, by the way, for you who know what you're talking about, but they'll run the coax up the tower leg and then bolt it on to the two halves of the tower up at the split point, and there's a little shack halfway up there that people have to go up and mess around with little tuning things so they can get the tower optimally matched to the transmitter. And wouldn't you like that job in the wintertime, to be hanging 300 feet off the ground there doing that? But the reason they do this is that they believe these Franklin antennas, and a lot of larger stations run them, I'm told, give you better ground wave coverage and less sky wave. Now, the economic reality of broadcasting is that WHO doesn't make their money out of people picking them up on a DX expedition in Philadelphia. They make their money out of people around Des Moines and Iowa listening to them, and if they have good, strong signals in the local environment, then people will listen. And they really don't care if they skip out at all, which is good, as you'll learn. I don't know the complete list of stations that use Franklin's. I've been asking around about some of the big ones, and ones that I've heard do are WOAI in San Antonio, KSTP St. Paul, and KDKA in Pittsburgh. Now for something a little bit different, I did some traveling during August. I spent a couple of days in Baltimore, and while I didn't take my Sony ICF 2010 with me, I did manage to get a fairly good performance out of the hotel clock radio. Not the most selective or sensitive radio I ever dealt with, but we dragged her over to the window and didn't do too bad. Now, as you know, it is normally my policy to have actual audio recordings on this column of the various things we talk about. Unfortunately, in this particular case, certain of my actions rendered that virtually impossible. Still, I thought these observations were interesting, and I'm going to ask you to just simply bear with me as I simply talk about them. First of all, I was taking a look at the New York stations. I couldn't get them at all during the day. At night, WFAN and WCBS were the strongest, which was interesting to me, because out here in Iowa, CBS is strong, but WFAN is fairly weak. And interestingly enough, they, as you may know, use the same tower via some trick of technical wizardry. WABC and WOR tied for second place with some pretty good signals. Third place for the New Yorkers was BBR and QEW. Of course, BBR in 1130, QEW in 1560. And really, the 1560 station was a little bit down from BBR. And I tried to average these because they did do a little bit of fading up and fading down. Really, really quite a bit. Fairly weak signal from the 1050 station, which used to be WHN. I'm not sure what they call that now. And I thought WINS was strong until I realized there's a station on 1010 in Baltimore at night. Actually, that daytimer, which was a 1 kilowatt daytimer on 1010, got put on at night as well with 20 watts. Wahoo! They probably get all over Baltimore at that rate. And it's called WOLB. By the way, I almost forgot to mention, WINS was clearly audible and could sometimes even be understood under WOLB. That's an interesting station because they do a simulcast with WOL in Washington, D.C., a little 1 kilowatt on 1450. They run a format called the WOL Information Network, and their slogan is "Information is power." And I believe that it probably is. I think when I was listening to that station, I probably heard the black equivalent of right-wing talk, and it was fascinating to hear that. So I listened for a while, and it put me in the mind of WLIB in New York, which does that kind of programming as well. It's on 1190 there. And I could get them, by the way, in Baltimore, just up around sunset. But they disappeared shortly after, and WOWO in Fort Wayne came in. Not strong, by the way, but they were certainly audible. And by the way, that's the pair that you may know was involved in an acquisition a while ago. The WLIB people bought WOWO, and they're reducing its nighttime power to 9,800 watts. And they're increasing the WLIB nighttime power to 30 kilowatts. So we'll be hearing more from LIB at night in that part of the country. I arranged the rest of these stations into categories. And by the way, the New York stations were not the strongest. They probably ranked in probably about the category that I called good with fading, which also contained WBZ, KDKA, KYW, WGMP, WGY, WHAM, WRVA, and WWVA. Now, two of these are interesting to me as well, WGY and WHAM in Western New York State, ought to be fairly equivalent, and out here in Iowa, they are not. WHAM is pretty strong on 1180 and would be really quite listenable if 1180 were a clear channel, as it was supposed to be, and WGY is really fairly weak. So, what do you know about that? My strongest category is one that I called very strong, and it contains only two stations, WJR in Detroit and CBL in Toronto on 740. Actually, those were the strongest non-local 50-kilowatt stations that I heard. Just under that, in a category that I called strong, but not very strong, was WGN and WBBM, both coming from Chicago. Really pretty good signals out of those two. I was unable to confirm WMAQ, since there's a 680 in Baltimore that was quite strong at my location. But oddly enough, the other Chicago powerhouse, WLS, was inaudible. Well, almost inaudible. I could hear little bits of them, but they were not coming in well at all. I'm going to call LS and see if they are having some kind of technical problem, because as you know, If you listen to my report from Tampa, they weren't coming in very well down there at all either. So if I find out they've got a technical problem and know it, I'll tell you. I'll slip it into this report at some point. But it certainly seems surprising to me that MAQ and BBM would be strong and LSB non-existent. They're all non-directional stations. Also, at one point when I was listening to WGN on 720, I got a pretty reasonable, readable signal out of CHTN in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, up in eastern Canada. That's a U2 7,500-watt station at night. Coming in not too badly there in Baltimore. Another category that I called in and out, which meant that you could hear them, and sometimes actually pretty good, but sometimes they'd disappear entirely, were WSM 650 in Nashville, WHAS 840 in Louisville, and WLW in Cincinnati. And probably at the bottom of that category was KMOX on 1120 from St. Louis. Really not doing too bad. As a matter of fact, sometimes a pretty respectable signal, but most of the time they were down near the noise. Another category, which, let's see, which one shall I do here? Which one haven't I done? Yeah. The weak category was WCCO in Minneapolis. I could hear the Twins game, but it wasn't really very strong at all, and sometimes disappeared. It was mostly in the mud, but then Minneapolis is a long way away, isn't it, from Baltimore? Also in the weak category, though, and surprisingly so, was WSB on 750. Really couldn't get much out of them, and just don't know why. And most disappointing to me in the non-existent category was 1040 WHO radio, not coming into Baltimore at all. So maybe things aren't altogether well at the WHO Franklin. I took the time to call both WLS and WHO about these signal reports, and frankly, neither one of them cared one way or the other, nor were they surprised. I did learn, however, that around September 5, WHO was broadcasting on their much, much shorter, more standard standby tower, and that they expected this to give them a much higher angle of radiation, which would cause them to skip out less distance. So I called a friend in Minneapolis, and he told me that they were coming in much, much stronger up there, although further out, we found that they were much weaker. Interesting. And also I learned that WLW's tower was actually shortened in order to lower the angle of radiation, which tends to give you a skip, which interferes with your ground wave out at about 100, 150 miles. So they actually shortened the tower to improve the service. See, I told you this month was all about miscellanei. So that's what I observed in Baltimore. It'd be interesting to hear what you think about that, how my observations line up with your own, or if you'd like to contact me for any reason, really, like to pass along some tapes or recorded material off the radio that you think might be of interest to our audience here. Send them to me. I'm Jim Snowbarger, S-N-O-W-B-A-R-G-E-R, and I accept mail at 3046 280th Street, Marshalltown, Iowa, 50158. We'll see you next month.
Tennessee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the International DX Audio Service Report. I'm Bruce Conti, coming to you from the 1996 National Radio Club Convention in Knoxville, Tennessee. The best thing about any NRC convention is the opportunity to meet fellow DXers from around the world. In many cases, it's the only chance we get to talk to others who share in the unique and often solitary hobby of DX listening. For those who couldn't make it to this year's convention, I asked some international DXers if they would introduce themselves to the DXAS, tell us a little about their equipment, and DX catches.
Lonely, lonely, lonely Monday morning.
I'm Don Salford from Runaway Bay, Jamaica. And, of course, that means I do some international DXing on AM. This year has been quite good. I have received QSLs from two graveyard channels in Mexico, one being XEBK in Nuevo Laredo, and the other in Merida, Yucatan. And I've also very often get Colombia, Venezuela. I've got QSLs from two stations in El Salvador.
My name is Roger Giannini, and I'm from Springfield, Illinois, and my equipment is a Yes, NG and 803 A modified by WorldCom Technology in Fort Pierce, Florida, and also used the Jerry Thomas quantum loop. And some of my best catches of late have been your most common Iberian Peninsula TAs, along with my first logging of a long wave TA radio alloy on 162.
Hi, my name is Mike Lance. I'm from Miami Beach, Florida, and I'm proud to be a member of the DX Audio Service. I have a Panasonic AM/FM radio, and we have a lot of Spanish stations in the Miami area that do Spanish and Haitian programming.
This is Tim Hendel, and I now live in Huntsville, Alabama. I like the International DX column because I'm interested in overseas broadcasting. I think my best International DX came in the 1960s in upstate New York when I picked up Radio Tirana, Albania, I think on 1215 kilohertz.
Hello, this is Al Merriman from Chincoteague Island, Virginia, right out on the Atlantic coast with a hurricane heading right towards it right now, so I don't know whether it'll be there when I get back, but if it is, the equipment I use are a Drake R8 and a Drake R8A, several different Mark Connelly designed phasing units and preamps, etc. The antenna system consists of four 150-foot slopers that are about 50 to 60 feet high at the high end, sloping down to 10 feet. They're all fed with the noise-reducing transformer system. For loops, I have got a homebrew 2-foot loop based on the design of Dallas Langford several years ago in DX News. I also have a Kiva loop and a Quantum loop, both of which work very well. My last season was my first over on Chincoteague on the Atlantic coast, and it was quite an eye-opener. The Europeans and African stations and a lot of stations from the Middle East just really roll in with tremendous signals some nights. In fact, in one three-week period, I had probably close to 150 different TAs logged in just 3 weeks. I don't really know what to tell you the best catch would be. Probably United Arab Emirates on 1314 would have to rank right up there with the best anyway. But anyway, if you ever get a chance to DX from the coast or maybe go to Newfoundland on one of those trips, you should do it because you will really be impressed.
Hello, DX Audio Service people. This is George Sherman from Apple Valley, Minnesota, and I do a little DXing on the medium wave of international stations when I can get them. I'm right in the middle of the country, which makes it harder for transatlantics and transpacifics, and I'm also not very close to Latin America, but I have got about 60 countries on medium wave, and I try to figure out what my best catch is. I'm not really sure. Maybe Fiji on 891. That was kind of a challenge because it was S5 and WLS was 20 over S9, but I managed to split them apart on National NC-183, and I was using only a 50-foot wire, so I guess that was one of my more surprising foreign catches.
Hi, I'm B.B. McClurkin. I live in Irving, Texas. I've been DXing since 1932, and I have QSLs from as far away as Australia, South America, and on the other international DX, I can get the Caribbean, most of the major stations in that area, and can also pick up Hawaii, and on the local stations, the major ones from coast to coast, and I enjoy DX, and I'm sure that all you fellas do too. 73.
And of course, there was also some DXing going on at the convention. However, the hotel was surrounded by a parking lot, shopping plazas, and power lines. The less than ideal location combined with the electrical noise generated by the hotel facilities and the use of short wire antennas resulted in poor performance of a phasing demonstration during midday. But at night, it was a completely different story as domestics were easily phased out to reveal subdominant stations. And believe it or not, transatlantic DX was heard. Several strong hits were noted, such as Algeria on 891 kilohertz, Germany on 1017 kilohertz, and Libya on 1251 kilohertz. But the best catch of all was this one, Croatia on 1134 kilohertz.
Oh,
Croatia on 1134, as heard in Tennessee on the low HF 225 Europa receiver with the MWDX5 phasing unit and two 50-foot wires. Thanks to Steve Francis, Carol Massengill, and John and Linda Bowker for hosting a great convention. More next time on the International DX Audio Service Report. I'm Bruce Conti, 73s and good DX.
Thanks, Bruce. On side two of this cassette, for those of you like myself who could not attend this year's convention, John Bowker was nice enough to tape the business meeting at the 1996 National Radio Club Convention, and we'll have that in its entirety and a whole lot more, so stay tuned to your DX Audio Service.
WTO Des Moines.